The Sound of Hockey episode 254. We're calling this one the Brady Shea episode. Why are we calling it that, John?
Okay, it might be a deep cut.
Okay.
Last year, Brady Shea had a shot attempt differential of 254.
Okay.
A shot attempt differential means that when he was on the ice, his team had 254 more shots than the opposing team in the aggregate, as they say.
Is that good? I have no idea.
That's good. You want to be above 50%, essentially.
Okay.
And so if you have a positive shot differential, that's good. So there's a lot more complexity into that. I'm kind of like glancing over a lot of the details. Like you'd like to know shot quality, stuff like that. But anytime you have a positive differential, it's good.
Okay. Well, good for him. That was a deep cut. You were right.
And where's he from?
He is from Lakeville, Minnesota, which is just the next town over. Big rival for my high school.
It seems like there's a lot of people from Lakeville. Is that that are in the
NHL? It's a big school, big city. And actually, it's split into two schools when I was in high school. So it's like a big enough suburb.
And where did he play college?
I don't remember where Brady Shea went. I
feel like he got drafted. Minnesota.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
I feel like he got drafted, like, out of high school, though.
Yeah. Which he was in the program. Sense.
Yeah.
So
the program.
The program.
Very good. The program will make another appearance later in this show, actually.
Ooh, interesting.
So, hey, this is Sound of Hockey. I am Darren Brown at Darren Fun Brown on the Twitter, joined as always by John Barr. Hello, John.
Hello, everybody. I'm NHL 2 Seattle, and we are Curtisless in Seattle.
Curtisless in. We need something that starts with a C there. Like,
got to be careful here.
Curtisless in. Oh, I can't think of anything that has a hard K sound for a city.
Yeah. Like in the Cove?
The Cove?
Like it's kind of. This is kind of like a.
Curtisless near the Cove. Curtisless. We'll workshop it. Anyway, it's Sound of Hockey. We're happy to be here with you. As you may have gotten, we are sans Curtis. We do have a couple of great interviews on this episode with Kyler Yamamoto and Adam Larson. They're both like, 8 to 10 minute kind of things, pretty short. Actually, Larson's even shorter than that, I think.
Yeah.
So they're pretty quick. We had limited time, but I think there's some good content there. So I think you're going to enjoy it. We do also have some fun 5-star reviews to share with you. The first one comes from Joe Grinder 84. It says raccoons on ice, 5 stars. Boys, I've been listening since 2018 and look forward to every episode. Listening to the pod is like hanging with buddies, so thanks for putting in the effort all these years. It has an impact. I still feel shock and sadness when Andy doesn't introduce himself, and I'm liking the addition of Curtis, who's Chris anyway, and looking forward to many more years of pods to come. Wow, many years. Do we have that in us, do you think? Many years of pods?
I think we got
pods?
What it takes.
I think so.
Yeah.
It's not that taxing, let's be honest. All right, one hope is to see the addition of a data analytics segment to accompany everyone's favorite goalie gear corner. As a Calgary kid who played D, I always loved goalies and goalie gear, and I wasn't surprised that an Oilers fan would quit the pod after hearing a goalie gear episode. Oilers fans don't know greatness when they hear it. Haha, just fanning the flames. But in all seriousness, easily the best cartoon hockey player ever is Cedric Sneer, with a close runner-up being Schaefer the goalie or any of their raccoons from the Raccoons on Ice. Have you ever heard of that? Raccoons on Ice?
No, it must be a Canadian
either.
Thing.
It's worth watching the epic battle between the raccoons and their friends to save the forest rink from the evil Cyril Sneer and his bears. It's free to watch on YouTube, and it's the best 28 minutes you'll spend today. So how about
that's
that?
That's a bold statement.
Bold statement.
I had a pretty good day, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
This one comes from I Am Daniel's Golden Chain. It says, SOH pumps life through the chambers of H. What do you think that means? Chambers of hell? Chambers of heart?
Badass.
Probably chambers of heart.
Okay.
Chambers of the heart, though, right? I don't know. It gets cut off. So it says in a 5 stars, in a veritable ocean of podcasts where individual voices choke on their own emesis, SOH is a siren call that punctures the foggy night, calling the true sailors home. JB, DB, and CI, that's the three of us, are like a bare-knuckle punch to the eardrums. These hosts do not merely talk hockey, but they dissect it layer by grimy layer, unveiling the visceral passion for the game in a way that only those truly embedded in the culture can. Each episode, by the way, we're looking for writers.
I know. I was going to say, this guy's pretty creative. This person's pretty creative.
Yeah. Each episode is a study in contrast. The ice-cold realities of the march to the cup, the fiery passions of the players, the unpredictable ebb and flow of every game, the condensation of the arena drips off of your forehead and you taste the sweat and blood of every face-off and power play. There's more. Beneath the stats and scores, there's a deeper narrative, the human element. Stories of triumph, tragedy, love, and loss, all etched against the backdrop of the Seattle skyline and the thunderous echo of Kraken fans. The podcast doesn't just echo the roars of the crowd. It delves into the whispered conversations in the locker rooms, the fervent prayers before a penalty shot, the heartbreak of an injury. To listen to this Seattle hockey podcast is to experience the game anew, as if you're a mini-mite stepping onto the ice for the first time, eyes wide, dreaming of rubber and blood. It's not just for the fans. It's for the lost souls searching for something, anything, to make them feel alive. Keep up the good work, boys. I will be back. And as a Patreon supporter, I shall meet you in the breach.
All right.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it is good.
That is pretty good. Like, I'm ready to go here. Now I really want to deliver on this episode. And that is a good segue into our Patreon starting lineup. At left wing, we have John B.
Yep.
At center, we have Justin P.
Yep.
At right wing, Sean B.
Yep.
At left defense, Michael A.
Yep.
And at right defense, Stuart M.
Yep.
And in goal, Lisa M.
Yep.
That was the starting lineup. John thinks that that is the dumbest thing that we've ever done in this podcast.
And he might be right. We've done a lot of dumb
things. We've done some dumb things on this podcast. We decided that the rhythmic approach from last week was a little too challenging. So we got some feedback last week that was like, hey, that was great. Now don't ever do it again. So here we are doing it again.
We're changing it up a little bit.
That's right. Keeping it fresh as much as we can. We'll do it for a little while. Eventually, we'll stop doing that. But we do want to give recognition to those who have signed up for the Patreon. Again, it's really, really great to see that. For those Patreon members, by the way, you will be getting a fresh new bonus mailbag episode soon, either after you hear this or around the time that you hear this. So keep an eye out on the Patreon for that. If you want to sign up for the Patreon, it is patreon.com/soundofhockey. So pop on over and check it out. All right, Kraken news. We have been watching actual Kraken hockey here. We are 100%. What percentage of back would you say we are?
Say we're 80%, okay. Actually, because you think about how much Kraken content we're going to talk about compared to the other stuff in the league that we would normally. Mm-hmm. I think we're about 80% there.
Which is interesting. I think we're pretty Kraken heavy on this particular episode.
We are.
The Twitter intern the other night tweeted that we're 100% back. So we need to talk to the intern and just make sure that we're on the same page there as far as our percentage.
Depends how he measures it too.
Yeah. They measure. You don't know who the intern is. Could be anybody. So only I know that. But yeah, I think we're most of the way back because we have real hockey being played right now. The first games with like a parentheses S around the end of that there was a split squad game between the Calgary Flames and the Seattle Kraken, meaning half-ish of the team went to Calgary and half-ish of the team played in Seattle. And I say half-ish because there were just some players that didn't play, which is just what happens in preseason.
And some like pretty prominent players.
Yeah.
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 Not just AHLers or rookies or anything like that.
Correct. Yeah. So anyway, it was interesting. I think it was, you know, they didn't show or stream or give us any way to watch the game that was happening in Calgary. So we saw the highlights after the fact. Those are out on YouTube now, so you can go and look at those at least. The Kraken won that game 5-3. They had two goals by new friend of the pod who you're going to hear from shortly, Kyler Yamamoto.
Already getting the sound of hockey bump.
That's right. That's right. He comes on the podcast, 2 goals in his first preseason game. Boom. And also Ty Cartier had a banger of a goal. I loved this. He gets stuffed on a breakaway by Dustin Wolf. Then the crowd's all cheering for the big save. And then before they're done cheering, he skates up to the top of the slot, picks off like the outlet pass and just snipes it past Wolf. So they're still cheering for the save, right? And the Kraken have scored.
I was eating that up. I laughed. I giggled out loud when I saw that. That was so good.
You know, I wrote a story this week on NHL.com about Cole Lind and how he's getting really close to making it, right? And how he's got a good chance at the roster. It does feel more and more like it could theoretically come down to Ty Cartier against Cole Lind as like which of those guys makes it. I feel like they're very much in head-to-head competition. And so far, I think Cartier definitely has the upper hand there. He's had a really good camp, and Cole Lind has not stood out all that much to me. But I also, again, didn't get to see the game in Calgary. So I'm eager to hopefully see them both play Thursday. I hope they both are in the lineup at home.
Yeah, and then to me, it still comes down to if Cartier is going to play, mm-hmm. or if he's going to sit in the press box. I think they'd rather see him play where they can get Lind kind of more as the 13th or 14th forward.
Yeah. Anyway, in the home game then, they lost 3-2 in a shootout. There were some things that I really liked, though, including, you know, from the second period on, they kind of, I don't know if I'd say they dominated, but they were definitely the better team. Like it was not a question. And I know that doesn't really matter at this stage in the game because you don't really know what's going on with the rosters. But, you know, it was good to see the top line look like the top line and the best players on the ice when they were out there. Maddie looks awesome. You know, I was watching him play and the way that he's able to hold the puck and dance around and do whatever he wants to do out there. I'm like, I think this guy's going to be like not just a good player, but like I think he's going to be a star player in this league. Are you starting to feel like that, John?
I don't know. Is a star meaning you're top 10 in the league?
I think so. Yeah.
I think that's a little stretch to assume that or think that.
Okay.
At this point, I think he could be, you know, top 30 or 40 players
okay.
in the league.
Okay.
Forwards in the league.
All right.
Yeah, I mean he's doing all the right things and he's still 20.
Yeah.
Isn't that insane?
But that's why I'm like, I see him play and I'm like, this guy is the best player on the ice, at least in this preseason game that we're watching, right? He is the best player.
It seemed like that top line was kind of buzzing. Now, it could be the strength of competition wasn't that strong,
mm-hmm.
But they seem to you know, and have their will against the other team. And how about McCann's shot off the crossbar? That was like, you could hear it pretty much throughout the entire building. It's awesome.
Who set that up?
Maddie,
yeah.
And his little backhander too was
I didn't even, that was, I think he looks like the best player on the ice and I actually forgot that he scored a goal in the game. That wasn't.
Yeah, you didn't mention it.
No.
And it was like, you know, I mean, it looked pretty nonchalant. I think he just had a lot of time mm-hmm. compared to what you would expect if there was like a regular season game.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we've really seen him score that way, like a nifty little shifty backhand in the top of the net. Maybe it's a new move. I don't know. But I'm trying not to get too excited after one game.
Mm-hmm.
But it was fun. Like you said, I thought they really dominated that game in Seattle.
Yeah. Hey, what were your thoughts from sitting up topside? You were only able to stay for like two periods, and then you had to sneak out for hockey. But what was your experience up there?
Like, it's way up there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, my regular seats are pretty high as well. But I think that extra angle, and you're also a little bit more on top. So you're higher, but more on top, kind of closer to the ice from that perspective. And it was really fun to watch the game from there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could really see some things unfold. Like the Goyette to Robertson was, like, awesome from that angle.
Yeah. Great segue there, because we did want to talk about some of the guys who stood out in the game that you may not have expected to stand out in the game. And David Goyette and Tucker Robertson, I think, were two of those players. I think their line with Luke Henman was the second best line behind the Maddie line. I thought they just were fun to watch. They were fast. And David Goyette, he really opened my eyes. I know we're going to talk in a minute about the players that have been sent back to their junior teams. He's one of them, but he really stood out to me. I think we've talked about it even in the last week or two here on the podcast, that he's flown under the radar, at least for me a little bit, as a prospect. And when we played that quizzical game where we were naming the top 10 prospects in order,
I think
he was slotted at number 6. And that really surprised me. I just didn't realize how highly regarded he is, I guess, by like public scouting data. But I see it, man. He's a great skater. He's got hands and he seems to be a pretty smart player with some scoring touch as well. So I was really impressed by his performance on this particular night. And he skated alongside Tucker Robertson, who also was a very solid player, and he scored a goal. So any players that stuck out for you in this one that you may not have expected to?
Well, you know, we talked about it a little bit, but not on the pod yet, is the Ottavainen.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first time we've really got to see him in game action. Like, he's been at training camp this whole time, but there was just some plays he made that he was making kind of, I don't want to say routine, but like tough plays, but knocking it down, looking like an NHLer, if that makes sense, where some of the other younger guys that are, you know, still a year or two away from their draft year weren't 100% nailing the plays, if you know what I mean. Like, Ty Nelson had a couple screw-ups, but Ottavainen, like, was very consistent throughout the game. And I was pretty surprised how it looked like he belonged, because I just haven't noticed him too much, even in training camp. I don't know if you have.
Same. And that's another one of those guys that, like, I just haven't paid any attention to as a prospect, right? Like,
it's hard because he's played in Finland up until this year.
Yeah.
So it's understandable, but even in training camp, he's kind of, I mean, defense kind of flies under the radar in general.
Well, and that's the kind of player that he appears to be too, right? He's not flashy. He's just, he's going to be like a sound type of defenseman, I think, but he's huge. He is an absolute tree. He's got a big shot and yeah, he seemed to make some smart plays. He also mucked it up a little bit. I don't think you saw that.
No,
I think you had left
by then.
But Lucas Siona got in on Joey's grill a little bit and Ottavainen just went right after him and started getting his hands up with him, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, I love it.
And then, and I liked Edward Schala also. I'm glad you mentioned Ty Nelson there because, yes, he had a couple of moments where it, you know, he made like a bad read or whatever. But you know what? He's a good skater. He shot the puck a ton, so he came as advertised there, and he did create some stuff offensively. So I liked a lot what I saw from him. And it's funny because I think you wrote in our Kraken roundtable on our training camp roundtable on soundofhockey.com that you want to see flashes from guys. You're not expecting perfection from some of these young players. I think I saw some of those flashes from him and from Edward Schala where I was like, these guys have something. Like they've got a chance to play one day, you know. So it was really cool to see them in that setting. And I know it's, you know, they probably aren't really pushing for roster spots anytime soon, but it was cool to see that.
Do want to mention Belmar too. That was the first time we've seen Belmar.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked about him in our kind of three takeaways. That was my takeaways. I know it's just a preseason game and the level of level of competition might not be like compared to a regular season game, but he looked like one of the best players on the ice as a sound two-way guy, right? Mm-hmm. In defensive, you know, he was out there winning faceoffs at the regular. He killed penalties, but he looked much better than a lot of the players on the ice. And I guess I shouldn't be surprised because he is a career NHLer, but, you know, the fact that he's kind of more of a fourth-line center, those guys tend to not stand out, but I think he did. He looked really solid. And, you know, we were wondering about where those last positions were. And Belmar, we kind of didn't think, or at least I think we've discussed that we didn't think he was a lock to make the roster. I think I've changed my tune there.
Me too. Yeah. I was actually just about to say the exact same thing that I was like, you know what? I could see them giving the spots to all the young guys that are fighting for it because, you know, Belmar is one of those depth guys. He'll be a good guy to call up. My tune has completely changed on that. I think that he is definitely a lock for the roster spot. He's a huge personality. And I think you don't bring in a guy like that unless you expect him to be on your roster. You know what I mean? Yeah. There's something about him. His media availability the other day was borderline hilarious. Like he came in, he's like, "Good morning, I am Pierre-Edouard Belmar." Like, it was a funny press conference. And so I just, I think he's probably there. And he does solve a need with the faceoff issue.
Killing
at least
penalties
in theory.
Too,
yeah.
Right?
He had 77% in the faceoff circle last night.
Yeah.
So by the way, Maddie, 67%. So he said I know it's against weaker competition probably, but I know that's something that he said he's been working on personally. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, it's awesome to hear. And I hope, you know, because he did struggle in the faceoff circle. And we know faceoff percentages don't tell the whole story, but they are a leading indicator to gaining possession after faceoff. So yeah, I thought there was a lot of good stuff. One thing I thought about as I was driving home is it was like a relatively like fun and enjoyable experience for me to watch the game.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually I'm a nervous wreck.
Yeah.
Be honest.
You're just like, all right, this will be interesting. Let's see what this guy can do. Let's see what that guy can do, right? And I think I was like pleasantly surprised on a lot of the players, right? And I think my general thought is this team is pretty well set up for the future, I think. I think what I'm starting to wrap my head around is that they've built in 3 years a pretty solid prospect pool with some pretty solid players that they've grabbed, not just from the first rounds, but from the second and third rounds.
Yeah.
Like these guys have a chance, you know, Ty Nelson has a chance. I think David Goyette not only has a chance, but like, I think he could be a top six player. Like he looks really good. So I know I'm not a scout, right? But it's like, they've picked up some guys here that I think have a real chance to be core NHL players in the next 3 years or so.
You know, what's interesting this year, kind of along those same lines, is this is the first year they've had split squad.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that and the increased prospect pool, we get to see a lot more of these guys playing in a preseason game where last year not a lot of them got the opportunity, but when you separate both teams, so the vets are playing in both spots, then it opens the door for some of the younger guys. And so that was nice to see, I thought. That was cool. We got to see a lot of guys in somewhat of a more intense game action. I know it's just preseason, but it's more than better than a scrimmage, right?
Yeah.
So
we've talked a lot about a preseason split squad game. But there is one more interesting note here, which is that Jessica Campbell was on the bench for this game as an assistant coach. We believe she was the second ever female to be on an NHL bench as a coach. And she followed, oddly, Corey Chevry, who did it the day before in Pittsburgh as a guest coach. Corey Chevry is going to be the head coach of the Montreal franchise in the new Professional Women's Hockey League. But it's a little bit of a different concept there, right? Because Corey Chevry is there as like a guest coach. Yeah. That feels almost ceremonial versus Jess is an actual member of the coaching staff here within the Kraken organization. And so, you know, it really was a cool thing. And they sent her out to be the coach that talked to the media after the game. Hakstol was off in Calgary anyway. And just, you know, I'm so impressed by her. I think that, you know, you see that the players also really appreciate what she brings and the perspective that she brings. And Paderewski talked about that last night. He played for her all season last year. Cole Lind told me the other day that he, you know, worked with her all summer to help improve his skating. So I think that they value what she brings. And I think that she's an awesome addition to the staff. And I'm like, man, I really think that she could be a full-time NHL coach one day. I think she could be the first woman ever to do that, which would be so cool, you know. And when we talked to her, Andy and I interviewed her last year at training camp, or during, I guess it was during like Coachella's time here before they went to Coachella, right? And one of the things she said was, as a kid, she grew up in an area where there wasn't girls hockey. So her only option was to play with the boys. But she grew up dreaming of playing in the NHL. And she's like, I just didn't know, you know, I didn't know anything else. That was just what I wanted to do, was I wanted to play hockey. I wanted to be a pro hockey player. So I was going to play in the NHL. And now it feels like she's kind of on the precipice of reaching the NHL in a different capacity, which is a really cool thing. So, man, I'm really pulling for her. And it was just an awesome thing.
There was a cool moment, and I'm not sure you were paying attention or not, but when they showed her on the screen at Climate Pledge,
yep.
And the fans started to go crazy for it because they were well aware. And I think Coach Dan was like, hey, Jess, take a look up.
And she did.
And she's like, oh, wait, I got to play cool. Like, she didn't like acknowledge it, but think about the cheers she got, and then think of there's potentially little girls that are attending hockey games and they see a female behind the bench. Huge moment, right? Even if it's small, like in the grand scheme of things, as far as like the quantity of time, like it's one game, it's a preseason game, but it is great to see. And I was listening to some of the radio broadcast, and Al Kaniski, the new color guy for the radio broadcast, mentioned, you know, she's there because she earned it, not because she's a female, right? And that's something that we should always think about. And there was plenty of examples and people like acknowledging how awesome it was to work with her even before she got hired, or right when she got hired by Coachella, by some of the players she was working with to get kind of come back from the pandemic.
Yeah. And Coach Dan, Dan Bylsma, when we interviewed him too, because he was the first person that I think he hired after he got hired.
Yeah.
And we were like, well, what was it about Jess? And he was like, you know, every time I'm asking around, like, who do I need to hire? I just kept coming back to her. Like, everybody just kept saying, you got to hire Jessica Campbell. And so, it's a cool thing. And it had this little trigger in my brain too, where I started thinking about all the interesting things that the Kraken have done to try to just like move the game forward in a subtle way, if that makes sense. Like, just, yeah, this is just normal. We're, you know, Jessica Campbell is our coach that's going to talk to the media tonight, right? That's just how it's going to be. We're going to have a partnership with a local Indian tribe. That's just how it's going to be. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to be on our jersey patches. That's just how it's. And I think that approach towards diversity and inclusion, it's such a breath of fresh air in a very stuffy and old school league of teams that don't follow that path, you know? And like, I've been nothing against the Wild. I think they've done a fine job over the years of like their marketing and doing like their special nights when they need to and whatever. but I've been following them most of my life since they've existed, right? I guess since I was 12 or 13 years old when they came into existence. And I can't think of anything that they've ever done that was like really helping to push the game forward. And the Kraken have done so much in these 3 years. You know what I'm saying? Like it's really impressive. I think that they've done more to push the game forward in 3 years than some franchises have ever done.
Well, and I know this, a lot of this from kind of being on the One Roof Foundation board, is that Seattle is changing the game a little bit as far as like a lot of their approaches to these same things, right? Mm-hmm. You know, on the ice, I don't have a lot of visibility to that other than kind of what the public sees. But, you know, sometimes I think about by kind of thinking about more traditional values or traditional roles, like, you know, male coaches, you're really limiting your ability to get good talent,
yeah. right?
Because you're basically saying, you know, 50% of the candidates are not considered for my, but they could be the star candidate, if you know what I mean.
Like, 100%, yeah.
And I totally agree with everything you said. And, you know, it goes back a bit, but this was a lot of the comment and then the discussion points before they hired a lot of people. Is that they're going to push boundaries and kind of be very inclusive and have a diverse working environment. They've delivered on all that. It 100%. Wasn't just good PR. It's they're acting on it and doing it, and it's noticeable up and down the organization, including with Jess behind the bench on Monday night.
The Kraken did make some cuts to who they have in camp. I don't know if you even really call them cuts because they're. I mean, I guess they're cuts. Are they cuts? Would you call these cuts?
I'd say there's
reassignments.
There were a couple players on PTO
yeah.
that would be considered cuts,
okay.
but they were assigned to Coachella.
So the players that were reassigned to their junior teams were Lucas Dravosivic, Jagger Furkus, David Goyette, Caden Hamill, Andre Lashko, Carson Rakoff, and Edward Schala. So those players have all been assigned to junior teams. Additionally, Maxim Andreev, Jackson Caster, and Kyle Jackson were all sent to the Coachella Valley training camp. Any comments that you want to make on that?
Not really. You know, I was hoping some of those would be stay around a little bit longer, but without split squads, they're not going to get into games.
Yeah.
And part of this is also they need to start focusing on kind of getting ready for the season, like including like power play time. Like they need to kind of start working on schemes. And if you have so many people, it might be a challenge. So that might be part of the logic around that.
It is interesting who stayed, right? Like we talked a little bit about Ty Nelson. We talked a little bit about Tucker Robertson, right? Like, although Robertson would be, he's a year older than Goyette, right?
Yeah, he's eligible to go to the AHL.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so that makes sense. I guess I was just like a little surprised by, I guess you're sending back a Goyette who had a great game last night, you know, versus a couple other guys. So no surprises here. Everybody's going to go back to their junior teams at some point, I think. But yeah, interesting. They're starting to make some moves. Group's getting a little smaller, little by little.
Yeah, and I think Evans, Winterton, Melanson, and Robertson are kind of the draft picks that are still here, other than obviously Shane Wright. But yeah, there's still a couple kind of prospects around that might draw into games still.
And on that topic, we had a question from Chuck Holmes in a comment on our roundtable story that we wrote the other day. He said the Kraken have had 15 selections in the top three rounds of the amateur draft over the last three seasons. One, Beniers, has made the leap. You discussed four others in our story, which were Riker Evans, Shane Wright, Ty Nelson, and Edward Schala. What about expectations for guys like Winterton, Furkus, Newman, Coco, Goyette, McDonald, Rakoff, Fisker, Mulgaard, Dragosivic, and Price? We're not going to go through each and every one of those because that's a big ask there. But I think generally speaking, and John, you can chime in here too, but I think generally speaking, the idea with your prospect pool is you gather up as much talent as you possibly can so that when we get to a point where some of the veteran players have started to age out or their contracts are expiring and you don't want to bring them back or whatever, now we're starting to have some real competition from within the organization from young players that you may have drafted a little bit deeper, right? I think that there's some guys that really do have a bright NHL future out of that group that you just named there. Some of them probably not. You know, I think there's probably maybe three of what you named there will make it to the NHL. And that's just kind of how it is. But the fact that there's out of the people you named there, many that still have a strong chance at getting to the NHL is a really good situation for the Kraken. It ties back to what I was talking about earlier, that I just think they've drafted really well here over these last few years.
Yeah, I believe they've the early returns, they've exceeded the expectation about in relation to where they were drafted. Mm-hmm. And I think about like draft rounds, where was this player drafted and what is the likelihood they make the NHL based on equivalent players that are drafted around that same position. I've published lots of data about this before, but like if you think about first rounders, 95% of them make the NHL. Now, we should also think about what is making the NHL. Mm-hmm. Playing one game is not what you want to have a first rounder. Playing over 100 games, that's okay, but you really want over 300 games. And only about half the first rounders play 300 games. And then it starts to kind of roll off as you go later in the rounds. And so even like just for example, round five, only 15% of the players play 100 games or more drafted in the fifth round. That doesn't mean, you know, you can't make it out of the fifth round, obviously. And there's plenty of players that are undrafted that make it, Ty Cartier being one of them. And technically, he hasn't made it yet. He had a great cameo in the playoffs, but for the most part, he's still, you know, obviously there's a lot more runway for him. But to your point, Darren, the chips on the table, if you will, right? Think of it almost like a roulette wheel. Like you want as many chips as you can. And if the lower the rounds, like the second, third rounds, the more you have in those categories compared to seventh and sixth, you have a more likely of hitting. And so the odds are better. But I do think early reports are that they've exceeded where they've been positioned to bring it back to my first comment. So we don't necessarily know yet, you know, so it's something to kind of just keep an eye on. And, you know, all the guys you mentioned, I think all have a shot, but in reality is not all of them are going to make it.
Yeah.
So.
And it'll be years probably before we see any of those guys.
That's another thing to think about is sometimes it takes 4 or 5 years since after your draft year. So.
Yeah. All right, that's our Kraken talk. Let's get to our interviews with Adam Larson and Kyler Yamamoto. We now welcome onto Sound of Hockey a very special guest. He has played 12 years in the NHL, 767 career games in the NHL, and he's played every Kraken game so far. Welcome to the show, Adam Larson. Thank you so much for joining us and just taking a few minutes with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So we got to meet a friend of yours here recently, Mr. Pierre-Edouard Belmar, who's recently joined the team. What can you tell about him, and are you excited to have him around?
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously a good friend of mine. I spend the summers with him back home and working out, skating and stuff like that together. And I played with him 12 years ago back in Sweden, so we kind of go long back. And obviously, he brings a lot of good qualities to this team. He's obviously played a lot of games and he's an older guy, so he's been fitting in really well so far.
He definitely seems like a pretty big personality. Any dirt you can give us on him? We're going to talk to him eventually. So,
no, you'll probably find out some stuff as we go. No, but he's a really funny, good human being, so I have nothing bad to say about this guy. He's awesome to be around and he's always in a good mood, so.
You contributed to a story I wrote last year about warming up without helmets, and they've changed the rules now, so it's officially going away, the ability to warm up without a helmet. How does that affect you moving forward here? Do you warm up without a helmet more frequently, knowing that it's going away, that you're part of the last generation that gets to do that?
I think I'm still allowed to do it.
Right, yeah.
But I quit 2 years ago, just when you kind of see scary injuries happens in warm-up. It's kind of I'm a big fan of the guys doing it just because it kind of shows your face behind the visor a little bit, and I think it gives the fans a little extra boost and kind of see the guys in warm-up and whatever it might be and different hairstyles or whatever it might be. So I think it's a good thing for a game, and I hope it doesn't go away completely, but I kind of stop doing it when I see those injuries happening.
I noticed no V-neck here so far. Is that going to happen this year?
I just had one on, but this is a brand new shirt, so it'll probably rip apart soon.
So you were one of the few Kraken that were signed during the negotiating period of the expansion draft, and so you chose to come to Seattle before you even knew what the team was going to be, who was going to be on the team. What went into that decision back in the day?
Well, obviously I wanted to test something else, and just talking to Ron throughout that process kind of seemed to be the right fit for me at the time. And there's been zero regrets so far, and I've loved every second of it, but obviously free agent is could be a good thing and it could be a bad thing for you. So obviously I could talk to Seattle before I talk to other teams just because of the rules and expansion rules, and whatever they told me convinced me that it's going to be a good journey, and it's been so far, so I've loved every second.
So I remember last year you gave an interview, maybe it was with Allison on your along the beach there. You talked about missing the food in Sweden. I want to talk about the food in Sweden. Is that okay?
Yeah.
What's the best Swedish dish that you miss from home?
Well, obviously it's whatever my mom cooks, but I don't know. I just feel like Swedish food is so good in general. I don't know. I'm a big fan of meatballs, and it's a lot of fish dishes over there, and it just feels so clean and good. So I don't know.
Like pate.
We have that both for Christmas and Midsummer, and all those Christmas table and Midsummer tables kind of look the same. So it's something that I miss for sure. But Seattle seemed to be a pretty Scandinavian influenced city, so we can get a hold of a lot of things in Seattle too, which is great.
And have you been to the Danish bakery, the Larsen's bakery over? It's legendary amongst the Scandinavians in the area. So you gotta check that out. If you're into
pastries. Staying Swedish, fully Swedish, no Danish.
So last one for you here. I know that you've had this kind of special relationship grow here with Vince Dunn, and kind of watching him really blossom into a star player. I mean, how special does that feel for you to see the guy that you've been partnering with really, really grow as a player here?
Yeah, I think the maturity off the ice too kind of comes hand in hand a little bit. And I don't know, I feel like him is like realizing how good he actually is. He didn't have that role in St. Louis, and now you just want him to play freely. Like all those skilled offensive D-men should be allowed to make some mistakes, but 9 out of 10 is going to work. So if they have one mistake in there, it shouldn't be a big deal, because 9 times it's a good thing going the other way. So I think it's just to kind of tell him that and let him play loose and confident is a big key for him.
And are you feeling at this point like you kind of know where each other are, even when you don't see them, right? You have that kind of sixth sense. Does that feel like that?
I would say so. I mean, obviously we have stuff to grow on too, but overall it's been the communication is there and the work ethic is there, and we kind of want to grow together, and so far so good. But obviously now in camp it kind of starts from square one again, and we would like to pick up where we left off, so it's going to be an exciting year.
All right, we won't take any more of your time. I know you got to run and work out, but thank you so much for doing this, and best of luck this year.
Thank you, appreciate it.
We now welcome onto Sound of Hockey another very special guest. He's a newly signed winger for the Seattle Kraken and a hometown kid. Welcome to the show, Kyler Yamamoto. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So first off, welcome to Seattle. A very simple one for you. How are you finding it so far?
Oh, it's awesome. For living in Spokane, I never really come over here quite too much. But, you know, from what I've seen so far, it's an amazing city, and, really liking it so far.
Yeah. When people sign in any market, I think you hear them say, oh, I'm really excited to be here. This is where I wanted to be, all that stuff. From you, it seemed very, very genuine. Like you really, truly are excited to be playing in your home state. How special is it to be playing in Seattle here?
It's amazing. Ever since I've grown up, I've kind of traveled around, and I was fortunate enough to play in Spokane, for juniors, live at my parents' house and play with my brother for a year. And then, going up to Edmonton, it was a bit of a change, a bit ways away, hard flights to get up there, long drives. So not a lot of people came up, but, to be able to come back and have my parents only 4 hours away, girlfriend's parents, really close, right down the road, it's really special.
And so I know you played a lot of hockey throughout the area, throughout the state, probably in your youth hockey. But how is it kind of cool to see the hockey community now and how it's changed since when you were playing youth hockey in the state?
Absolutely. I mean, it's starting to blow up. When I was growing up, it wasn't the greatest. I don't know about Seattle, but Spokane, it was on the up and coming, but it wasn't, the best. But, now that Seattle's got a team, it seems like more younger kids are, getting into more hockey. They want to strive to be better and, everything like that. So it's amazing to see.
And I imagine this is a very strange offseason for you. I mean, you got traded, your contract then gets bought out. I mean, can you kind of take us through some of the details of how this summer went for you, the emotions, the ups and downs of it?
Yeah, it was definitely a stressful summer. You started out, I didn't really think anything. I knew Edmonton was a little bit in cap issues. But yeah, I kind of got the call, Wednesday, or the Wednesday right before buyouts. I think buyouts were maybe Friday. He didn't call me and said, it's between you or one other guy on your team who's getting bought out. You're probably likely because you're only going to make one 30-year contract. So then they were like, all right, we're going to try to get you a trade. Day later, got traded to Red Wings, and it was hilarious. I was getting like five texts, six guys on their team texting me like, hey, it's going to be awesome to play this year and everything. Oh, and then about a day later, Aiden calls me again and goes, I have a hunch you're getting bought out there too. And I'm like, oh, all right, sweet. So literally like a day later, got bought out. And then he's like, where do you want to go? And I was like, honestly, I don't really care. Seattle would be cool, but I just want to get a contract. And then literally like 2 days later, got a call from my agent. Said, hey, this is what they're offering. I don't know if you're gonna get much more. I would probably take it. And I was like, absolutely, Seattle, let's go. So very stressful about 4 days, but happy how it all played out.
Yeah. So not much of a question for you here. Well, maybe there will be one in it, but just a fun fact. My first experience with hockey in this area of the country, I've lived here for about 7 years. John took me to a Everett game and they were playing Spokane, your Spokane Chiefs. And mm-hmm. I remember seeing you out there and you were so like fast and shifty and you just looked different compared to some of the players out there. But I guess what I'm curious about there is, that truly was like your hometown team. Like you grew up in Spokane. How unique was that to play for the Chiefs at that level?
It was amazing. I mean, growing up, I was born and raised in Spokane, so I went to a lot of Chiefs games growing up. Never thought I would. Obviously, had the dream of playing for Spokane. Even when I was growing up, never really thought I was going to play for the Chiefs. Thought I was going to go kind of the college route and everything. But then my brother made the Chiefs, and he kind of steered me in that direction. And then when it came to fruition, it was an amazing experience. I got home cooked meals for 4 years. Got to play with my brother. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better picture than that. So
when you then finally effectively move away, right? You go off to the NHL. I mean, how big of an adjustment is that? Like, you don't have the home cooking anymore, right? You're on your own really for the first time.
Oh, you definitely grow up fast. That's for sure. You definitely grow up fast. But it was definitely a change, but you still have, teammates and everything around you helping you out. You got older guys. I remember my first year pro when I was down in Bakersfield. My roommate, Brad Malone, he kind of took care of me. He's a little bit older, but yeah, he was basically, my role model on that team, and, I look up to him. And he was still at Edmonton, for the past 4 years, so I got to, get to know him super well. And, he's just an amazing guy and still really close with him.
And we talked to Derek Ryan a couple years ago, and at one time in his youth, his NHL was making the Chiefs, right? Did the Chiefs have that kind of same mystique for you growing up?
It was definitely one of them. Obviously my main goal was to make the NHL, but when I was growing up, I was always kind of pushed, playing in America. They always push the college route, so I always thought I was going to go to college. I was getting looked at by schools when I was about 14 or 15. Thought I was going to sign, and then, it kind of just took a left turn when my brother ended up signing, and, happy that all of it played out the way it did because, I would never look back. But, I think the NHL is my main goal, but obviously playing in Spokane was definitely a big goal too.
And did you look up to the guys like Derek Ryan and Tyler Johnson growing up because they're from Spokane?
Absolutely. I always joke with them. I think Derek's 37 now or something like that. I would have been, when he was playing when he was 20, I might have been eight or so, yeah. Nine maybe.
Yeah.
So I was pretty young, so it was pretty funny.
Is there something in the water there? I mean, that's not that big of a city, right? And when I think of hockey hotbeds, I don't necessarily think of Spokane, Washington as a hockey hotbed, although they do obviously have the Chiefs. But like, what is it? Like, how is it that all you guys have made it to this point?
It's kind of weird. I'm not really too sure. The funny similarities too, we're all pretty small too. Me, Derek, and Tyler, we're all under 6 foot. We're all under 190. I think Tyler might be over 180, but yeah, we're all around. So it's kind of weird how, the smaller players, are coming out of Spokane and, we're very good players. But, you see a lot, we go to the rinks now, you see a lot of really young, good youth players. So, I'm excited to see them in the next 5 to 10 years.
You're transitioning now from Edmonton, right? And you played with a couple of the best players in the world there, obviously. This is a very different makeup, the Kraken. I mean, with a very balanced attack is kind of how they've done it, at least last year, it's how they did it. How does your mindset or your role shift as you come to Seattle?
I don't think it shifts at all. I just want to come in here, play my game. Don't try to change really anything. Just try to play my game and try to figure out my role in the team and execute that. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like playing in Edmonton too, it feels so much like a fishbowl from, like, you know, the media and the fans, and it's intense. Seattle's very, very different. But I mean, what was your experience there? Did you feel that kind of like added sense of pressure from media or fans in Edmonton?
Yeah, there's definitely some pressure up there. I know. Yeah. I mean, they're in a win now situation. They got the two best players in the world right now. So there's definitely a little bit added pressure, but at the end of the day, it's just a game. You got to kind of look past that. You know, the guys up there are great. You know, it was amazing to play there for the last 4 or 5 years. You know, be able to grow with that team and, you know, start my career there. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it, and, you know, hope for the best this year. But, you know, I hope we win this year.
Last one for you. Tell us about the non-hockey version of Kyle Yamamoto. What are you doing away from the rink?
You know, in the summer, so, you know, I'm a big fan. I like to hang out with the family, you know, friends a lot. Love to golf, you know, play a little bit of vid games, and then, you know, kind of just hang out with the dog. So pretty relaxed, not trying to do too much. Yeah.
What's the go-to video game?
I've been playing
right now.
Apex Legends right now.
Okay.
Yep. And PGA 2K23.
Sure. All right. Well, very good. Well, Kyle Yamamoto, thank you very much for the time. Best of luck, and welcome to Seattle.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, good stuff there from Adam Larson and Kyle Yamamoto. Thank you to both of them for taking a few minutes to chat with us. Pretty cool to have Yamamoto back in Washington. I think that's awesome. You could tell when we were asking him about that, you know, like, what's it like to be back in your home state? I think he really felt that. I think he's pretty excited to be here. So
yeah, and I loved hearing his thoughts on Spokane, and that was kind of fun.
Yeah. I thought. Some WHL news. Kevin Constantine has been suspended already, so not a great start to his Wenatchee Wild career. He's being investigated for some incident. We don't really know what the details are yet. I've seen some rumblings and rumors about what he did, but we're not going to say that until things are out there as to what actually happened, if anything did happen, right? Because there's been investigations in the past in which it was determined that nothing really happened, but it sounds like there's some fire to go with this smoke in this case.
Just makes me shake my head. Yeah. Like, ultimately, I hope nothing happened, but reality is it probably did.
He does have a checkered past.
Yes.
And we didn't comment on this when they first hired him because, you know, it's not really our place to do so, I don't think. Maybe it is.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't read about a lot of these things until now.
Right.
I know people hated on him for some reason, but I never really like kind of researched it. I'm like, oh, maybe he's just a hard ass. No, a little bit
more
than that.
Well, that was the vibe that I got, right? Yeah. Was that he was a hard ass. And and so anyway, there was a story that got reposted by Jesse Marshall where basically after a preseason game in Tri-City, this is when he was coaching with Everett, he made the players ride back from Tri-City to Everett in their gear and also told like the healthy scratches from the preseason game to put their gear on for the ride, which is a little extreme of a punishment for not playing well, particularly in an exhibition game. So, and with kids, you know, they're 16, 17, 18, 19 year old kids, which is it's a little extreme.
And it's such a bummer because it's like a new ownership group. Like, why didn't they do some due diligence here? You know, because you want them to be successful, particularly in Wenatchee and Washington State. And like, what? Sometimes I'm just like questioning how these guys get hired in general, you know?
Yep. And again, we're maybe putting the cart before the horse a little bit because we don't know. I mean, this could end up being nothing, right? So we shouldn't go too hard
at
it.
WHL went
yet, but
reacted pretty quickly though.
Right.
So yeah.
We'll see. We'll see what happens there. It doesn't sound like a great situation and certainly not a great start to Kevin Constantine's tenure in Wenatchee. We now move on to our segments. And our first segment is
everyone's favorite segment.
Everybody's.
It is Goalie Gear Corner! All right. This week's Goalie Gear Corner features a Buffalo Sabres goalie that actually plays for the real Buffalo Sabres. And I'm not talking about the Junior Sabres. I am talking about the real Buffalo Sabres. Devon Levi, he's got a new mask out from Sylvie Marcellet. It is, I think it's got kind of a Star Wars nod to it because he's a huge Star Wars fan, as we've seen in the past. Remember, he was the one that had he Sharpied a Star Wars thing on his mask last year.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
But he's got an officially painted mask. It is beautiful. It's got, so I think the thing going around the chin there, if you're, are you looking at it?
I
think that's a lightsaber. I think the blue is a lightsaber.
Hold on, it's coming around real quick.
You're looking at a video.
Yeah.
And it cuts through his numbers on the chin, I think is what we're looking at there. And then the buffalo is in like a lightning bolts. He also has a pretty cool setup where he's got the like half of the Buffalo Sabres logo at the bottom of his pads. They're all white, but like the Sabres logo, like the round logo is just above like the where his skate would sit underneath the pads. So it's a cool, clean look. He looks sharp in general. And really what I wanted to talk about here was just the fact that it looks like he's going to be their goalie. And this kid's coming straight out of college. No AHL time. He played a preseason game tonight, Tuesday, and he was all over Twitter for some incredible saves. I think he stopped 19 out of 19 shots. So he's looking like a player, and he's an interesting dude. He's the one that meditates at stoppages. He like goes out and just kneels in the slot and looks at his net. You remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So interesting character. That'd be pretty wild if he becomes their full-time starter here at a very young age, following in the footsteps, in a way, of Carter Hart to some degree. We also have a You Don't See That Every Day. This one is from the USHL. So remember the NTDP team, was it the U18s, I think, play in the USHL, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. So they had a preseason tournament, the Fall Classic against Dubuque. And there was a breakaway happening. I believe it was in overtime. Brody Ziemer was coming down on a breakaway for the NTDP. This is our reference to the program, as I mentioned at the top of the show. And goaltender for Dubuque, Kevin Riedler, had a loose strap and shook his mask off mid-breakaway. We saw Joey do this last night. He got hit in the head with a shot. It broke his strap, or at least unhooked it. Once that happens, the mask doesn't sit right, so you can't see anymore. So he kind of shook the mask off. So the goalie shook off his own mask as the breakaway was happening, basically let the kid score because he's like, I'm not wearing my mask, right? Like, I'm not in the net. NTDP goes and celebrates, goes off to the room like the game was over, had to be brought back out on the ice because the refs initially said, yeah, good goal. And then they changed their minds and brought him back out. So I actually don't know how this game ended, but I thought that was funny that the NTDP actually left the ice, went to the room, celebrated their goal, and then had to come back out and keep playing. So,
well, I'd like to know how it got overturned.
Great question.
And I believe this is the U17. U17, U18, they actually both play in the USHL.
Okay.
They share, but U17 is the one playing in this tournament.
So. Gotcha. Well, thanks for fact-checking me on that. But yeah, you don't see it every day. We now move on to our weekly one-timers.
Whoopsh.
Our first weekly one-timer.
Whoopsh.
New jerseys abound. There's been quite a few, and I don't mean New Jersey like the Devils. I mean new hockey jerseys have been unveiled by several teams. The Heritage Classic jerseys came out on Tuesday for the Edmonton Oilers and the Calgary Flames. John, give me your take first. Let's hear it.
These are pretty ugly, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
but
you like more...
I like the throwbackness of it.
Okay.
I'm excited to see what they'll look like on the ice, but generally I don't get too bent out of shape of these. And it could be that Kadri and McDavid look like they don't want to be there.
McDavid looks very unhappy in his unveiling picture, which is kind of standard for him, right? He always looks kind of sad. So,
because they kind of have the brown gloves and brown pants that I think that's where it's really is a throwback. So
okay.
What do you think?
So I actually, the jerseys themselves. So I think Calgary's look is totally fine. Like you could put
pretty,
that.
Yeah, pretty.
It's fine. It's safe. It's a safe look.
It's different, but it is safe. Yeah.
I think the Oilers look could be really solid, but guess what my gripe is?
The pants. Yeah.
The pants and the gloves. I don't know why. Like, I understand that we're trying to do this throwback thing, and back in the day, they didn't have colors on their pants because they all just wore brown leather. I get that. I do understand.
Yeah, we get it. We get it. We don't need to see it.
It's been done
before. Yeah, okay, got it.
And you know what doesn't go with brown pants is bright orange. That does not go well.
Or blue, for that matter.
So I just, if you just put them in some blue pants, I'd be totally fine with this look. And I actually think like the design of the jersey is pretty cool, like with the oil slick and the words going around the bottom of it. I actually think that's pretty cool. But man, those brown pants just take it down a big notch. The Wild are keeping their North Stars jerseys as permanent thirds, at least third jerseys, at least for this year. And the Winnipeg Jets unveiled some, they were like, like a throwback jerseys to the Royal Canadian Air Force, I guess, who... I'm not really clear. Did they have their own hockey team, the Air Force? I guess they did.
Yeah. Right?
Okay.
And the Jets kind of like some of their legacies from that same team.
Yeah.
As far as the new Jets, I should say.
Right, right.
You've kind of glanced over the Wild jerseys.
Well, we've seen them and I don't want to get too deep in the minutiae. You know,
there's something I do like is the state of Minnesota on their captain patch.
I noticed that. Yeah.
I think that is like awesome.
It is unique.
And they also have stars down the pants, which I'm a big fan of stars down the pants.
I glanced over it, I think, because this is like they wore them already for their...
It's a little different.
Right. The reverse retro. Yeah. They adjusted, like added some little trim here and there, I think. But I think it's pretty
check
similar.
I don't know if you ever check out the YouTube channel iAesthetics.
Uh-huh. Occasionally.
The guy's actually located in Seattle. It's pretty awesome. But he breaks it down and because some of this got leaked before a couple weeks back. But this was the full unveil and breaks it down. And he goes over the Jets stuff too.
Mm-hmm. So now they do have brown gloves on their thirds, the Jets, but they wear blue pants. And I'm like, all right, this is fine. I'm fine with this. You can give me brown gloves if you want to do a little throwback thing. That's fine. But don't give me brown pants.
Speaking of jerseys,
uh-huh.
We should be seeing the classics come out very soon.
Yeah.
I imagine in the next 10 days.
Next 10 days?
Yeah, that's my prediction.
Okay, interesting.
Maybe the next week, I think, in the next week.
Okay, so. Wow. You heard it here.
I should be careful here.
Yeah, is that on good authority or is that just a guess? An educated guess.
An educated guess. That's okay. All I'll say. Yeah.
All right. Our next weekly one-timer, Logan Cooley has arrived in the NHL. He had a really cool goal in Australia against the Los Angeles Kings, right? Isn't that who they were playing? Where he did like two spin moves and then scored. And people were really excited about it.
So that was a great goal. Mm-hmm. But if you watch the highlights of the game, he also had a massive turnover that directly led to the Kings goal.
Look, we're looking for flashes in preseason.
You're right. You're right.
And that's what he showed. You're
right. But that was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our final weekly one-timer, Corey Schneider has officially hung it up. I don't think that's too much of a surprise. He hasn't really been in the NHL for a while now, but he was still playing in the AHL pretty recently. He had a moment in the sun. And then I think he had some serious injuries and had a hard time working back. So.
And at one time, he was considered the top U.S. goalie.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I don't know. Did he play in Olympics? I'm not sure, but...
I don't know. I don't know if he did either. I can't remember him playing in the Olympics. I think it was Jonathan Quick was the last.
In Russia?
Yeah.
But he was considered like the top active American goalie for a bit.
So. Right. I saw a video today that was with him and it was like a newscast talking about him and Roberto Luongo were fighting for the number one spot.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen that?
No.
It's so funny. And they had him like doing like comedic acting, the two of these guys, and they fully bought into it. Like they're like, oh, no, we get along great. And then they're like beating the crap out of each other, like behind the guy. Right. Like stuff like that. And,
I gotta find that.
It's pretty funny. It was pretty good. So he obviously had a good sense of humor as well, playing alongside Bobby Lou. So those are our weekly one-timers. We close the show with our tweet of the week, singular, because I already know that John doesn't have one. So, but I have one.
Oh, wait.
Oh.
Hold on.
Wait a minute.
One thing we didn't talk about is the promos.
Oh, I thought you were going to... You're right. We did gloss over that. I thought you were going to come running in from the...
Top rope with the tweet?
Exactly.
No, but we should talk about the Kraken promos
okay,
real
so that
quick.
Can be if your tweet of the week.
Okay.
How's that?
Fair enough.
Yeah. So I think what you're referencing is the promo giveaways this season that the Kraken are going
to have.
One of those is a John Forslund talking bobblehead, which is going to be a hot, hot item, I think. There also are bobbleheads for what? Jared McCann. Who else?
Wenberg.
Alex Wenberg.
There's a Grubstein. No pictures of that.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm in.
Yeah.
There's a camper mug.
Oh, that's a camper mug.
Yeah. October 17th.
Okay.
Winter Classic knit gloves.
Okay.
And Jaden Schwartz has a bobblehead
as well.
So, yes. If you're into bobbleheads, man, how good is the Forslund?
That's going to be fun.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Curious to see what he's going to be saying. I actually briefly made a joke today on Twitter that I was wondering why it's only half his body and did he get a short side stinger? But then I was worried that sounded bad, right? Because the joke was like, oh, maybe he had his legs cut off there. But it sounded, I felt like it could be taken the wrong way. So I got rid of that tweet because I felt weird about it. So anyway, my tweet of the week comes from the Florida Everblades of the ECHL. It says, breaking, Travis Kelce reserved a suite for the Everblades opening night on October 28th. And what they did was they just like very poorly printed out two pieces of paper and stuck them to seats in a suite. And it says reserved for Travis and reserved for Taylor, just to jump on that mania from the last week. So I thought that was pretty funny.
And it's still
going. It sure is. Yeah. It sure is. A lot of new football fans all of a sudden. That's what they need to, that's what the NHL needs to do. Just get any hockey player.
I thought you were
going to
say that's what the NFL needs, more fans.
No, NHL. Get any hockey player to date Taylor Swift and you're golden. So.
Yeah. You could just make that happen.
I'm sure somebody knows somebody that knows somebody.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you think? Anyway, this has been episode 254. Thank you to Joe Grinder 84. And I am Daniel's golden chain for the great 5-star reviews. Leave your 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We'll read it on next week's show. Patreon members, you'll get the bonus mailbag, so be on the lookout for that. And what else? Subscribe on Spotify. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Those of you who are subscribed before on Stitcher, you can start subscribing on places like Google Podcasts. And what was the other place that you mentioned the other
Pocket
day?
Casts.
Pocket Casts.
Yeah, that's what I use.
So there are some workarounds if you were a Stitcher person. So maybe that'll be the new sign off. Subscribe on Google Podcasts, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, subscribe on Spotify. Leave your 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Also subscribe on Patreon. Stick taps to Andy. We'll talk to you all very soon for episode 255. Cheers.